Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from John chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. And the title of the message is Grace and Truth by Jesus Christ. Grace and Truth by Jesus Christ. As John continues, as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words, he's speaking of Christ as the light and now Christ as the Word. And he says, in the beginning, what he said up there, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. That's Christ, that's Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, co-equal with the Father and the Spirit in every attribute of deity. But then he says something that is a marvelous thing, and this is joy to a sinner's heart. In verse 14, he says, the Word. The same Word that was in the beginning. The same Word that was with God. The same Word that was God and is God. That Word was made flesh. Made flesh. And dwelt among us. And it says, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word made flesh. Now, obviously, that's speaking of the incarnation of Christ. God manifest in the flesh. Remember, I quote Matthew 1:21, His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Well, He is God the Son. And in His deity, how in the world could He identify with sinners like His people are and save them? Well, His name shall be called Jesus. He will save His people from their sins. And in order for Him to save them, He had to be made flesh without sin. His name is called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so this is speaking of the incarnation of Christ, which was necessary for Him to come as the surety, the substitute, and the Redeemer of His people. As God, absolutely considered in His deity, He could not die. But in His humanity, without sin, He could and did die for the sins of His people. Now, it was an act of His entire person. And I cannot explain that to you. It's a marvelous thing. It's an awesome thing. But Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, died for the sins of His people, which were imputed to Him, charged to Him. He had no sin of His own. He knew no sin. He was never contaminated with sin. He was and is the impeccable Christ. He could not sin. He could not be contaminated with sin. He's God manifest in the flesh. And yet He died justly under the wrath of God for the sins of His people. Now, how did that take place? Our sins were imputed, charged, accounted to Him. He was made sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says. How was He made sin? He wasn't made a sinner. He wasn't made to be a sinner. He wasn't contaminated with our sins. He was made sin only in a legal sense as a substitute. A surety. A surety is one who takes responsibility to pay the debt of another. And that's what Christ did before the foundation of the world. He was made surety of the covenant of grace. God chose a people to save. But He had to do it in a way that was just and righteous and holy. And how did He do it? He chose His Son to be the surety of His people. And He put the debt of the sins of all of His chosen people on the Son by imputation. And in effect, the righteousness that His Son would come in time and work out on the cross was imputed to them, so that they're justified, declared righteous, forgiven of their sins, based upon Christ's righteousness imputed to them. He was made sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so when it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, that's what this is all about. And we beheld His glory, John says, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Now over in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, there's a passage that gives us a little commentary on this whole transaction, talking about Christ's death for His people. And it says in verse 14, this is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Listen to this. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," now the children are God's children. That's His elect. That's the ones He chose and gave to Christ. And they're identified by their faith in Him, which He brings them to in the new birth. He says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He, that is Christ, also Himself, likewise, took part of the same." He took part of flesh and blood. Now the difference is, and we have to keep this in mind, is that when we're born flesh and blood, we're born in sin. We're born spiritually dead and depraved. But Christ was not born that way. He was not conceived that way or born that way. He was conceived miraculously by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin, and He was born without sin. That's what Christ was. The Catholics call Mary the Immaculate Conception. She's not the Immaculate Conception. She was born a sinner like us. Even she, in her praise to God, talked about God, my Savior. The only ones who need a Savior are sinners. Mary was blessed among women. And we thank God for Mary. She was the human instrument through which the humanity of Christ came into the world. Blessed among women. Thank God for her. But she was still just a sinner saved by grace. Christ is the Immaculate Conception. His conception and His birth without sin. And He contracted no sin. But He had to be made flesh because of this. Look at verse 14 of Hebrews 2. "That through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Christ had to die to destroy the works of the devil against His people. The devil was instrumental in bringing condemnation into the world. And Christ had to die to pay the debt. And it says in verse 15, "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage," the bondage of sin and death. And verse 16, "For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels." Christ took upon Him a human nature, flesh and blood, without sin. Not an angelic nature. He didn't die for angels. He died for His people, sinners saved by grace. But He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Now the seed of Abraham in the Bible are all who have been brought by God to believe in Christ. Now that's who the seed of Abraham is. That's not just national Jews. Most of the national Jews died and perished in unbelief. And that's not speaking of some future where all national Jews will be saved. That's not talking about that at all. If you'll hold your hand right there in Hebrews chapter 2 and look with me at Galatians 3, I'll show you this. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, he speaks of in verse 26. This is Galatians 3. Now, I'm going to go back to Hebrews 2, so don't lose that. But look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now, he's speaking to Jew and Gentile believers here. Those who have been chosen before the foundation of the world. Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world began. And Christ died for them. They've been born again by the Spirit. And they've been brought to faith in Christ. And so he says in verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Baptized there is not water baptism. It's being united to Christ. Union with Christ. Placed into Christ. And you put him on. Now what does it mean to put on Christ? It means to believe in him. It means to rest in him. It means to plead his righteousness as your only ground of salvation. And so in verse 27, or verse 28, he says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." In verse 29, "And if you be Christ," if you belong to Christ, "then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now, how are you Abraham's seed? Abraham was a believer in Christ. And you follow Abraham in that. You believe in Christ if you're Abraham's seed. So go back to Hebrews 2 now. He says, verse 16, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." That's the elect. All who come to faith in Christ. Verse 17, "Wherefore, for this reason, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren." Who are his brethren? Those who do the will of his Father. Again, the elect, the redeemed, the regenerated, believers. And it says it behooved him. That word behooved is the Greek word for debt. He was indebted to be made like unto his brethren. Well, what was the debt? Their sins charged to him. He agreed willingly to come and die for their sins and pay their sin debt as their surety, as their substitute, as their redeemer. So it says, "made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Now let's go back to John chapter 1 and verse 14. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." The reason he was made flesh to dwell among us was so that he could die for the sins of his people that had been charged to him. He is our surety. And John says here, "We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father." Who beheld his glory? Not everybody. The disciples did. God revealed the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All believers did. And full of grace and truth. It's all of grace and it's all true. And it comes by Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15. "John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." John is testifying of the glory, the preeminence, the beauty, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. John says, "This is the one I told you about. And he's before me. He's to be preferred before me. He's God manifest in the flesh." And you think about this. John says, "He must increase, I must decrease." John said, "I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie his shoes." And I love that passage. I believe it's in John 3, where it talks about John preaching. And it says this. It says, "They heard John preach, and they followed Christ." Now you hear me preaching. It's my prayer that you don't follow me, but you follow Christ. That's the goal. Verse 16 of John 1. It says, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Salvation is not adding to where Christ lacked. You know that's what most people believe? They believe that Christ came here to make people savable, to make salvation possible, if you would pick up where he left off. He died for you, but that's not good enough. That's not full enough. You've got to believe in order to empower that to your salvation. That's not true. Salvation is by the grace of God through the blood and righteousness of Christ, and it's receiving of His fullness, the fullness of His person. Again, God manifest in the flesh. The fullness of His finished work. The blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. My faith does not wash away my sins. My faith is in Christ, whose blood washes away my sins. My repentance and my faith are not my righteousness before God. Christ is my righteousness. And because He is my righteousness, and His righteousness has been imputed, charged to me, God has sent His Spirit forth in my life to bring me under the preaching of the gospel and to give me life and to give me faith and repentance to believe in Christ and turn away from dead works and my sins. Of His fullness, Christ is a full Savior. He's not a part Savior. There'll be no one who perishes in eternal damnation for whom Christ died. All for whom He died shall be saved. Somebody says, well, how can I know He died for me? Do you believe in Him? Believing is the evidence. You see that? It's not the cause. It's not what makes the difference. Christ made the difference. His fullness. Grace for grace. But believing evidences this. Are you interested in these things? Do you want to study your Bible? Do you want to know what God's Word says? Are you searching for the truth? Well, read it in God's Word. Don't settle. Don't give up. Seek Him with your whole heart. You say, well, the Bible says that unless He intervenes, I won't do that. That's right. But if you do that, He has intervened. You see, people, you're not God. I'm not God. All we know is what God tells us in His Word. The secret things belong to God. The revealed things belong to us. And understand that. Well, look at verse 17 of John 1. He says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What law was given by Moses? Well, you know what law. That's the Old Covenant law. Most people, when they look at that, they think about the Ten Commandments. And that's okay. They were given to Moses on Mount Sinai. But there was more than the Ten Commandments given. There was the ceremonial law. There was the civil law, the dietary, all the law that was binding upon Israel as a nation for 1,500 years, approximately, from the time of Mount Sinai to the time of the cross. And that law was given to the people of Israel through Moses, the mediator of that covenant. But you see, there was no salvation in that law. Somebody said, well, there were pictures of Christ. Well, that's true. But the pictures that were in that law, the pictures of the priesthood and the sacrifices, the tabernacle, all of that, led away from the law and led sinners to Christ. The law was given to expose their sinfulness and depravity, to show them the impossibility of salvation by their works, by their law keeping. It exposed their sinfulness, and it exposed their need for salvation by God's grace and God's truth. And that comes by Jesus Christ. People talk about, well, we're still under that law. Well, if you are, my friend, it condemns you. That's what it did to Israel. It condemned them. The law was given by Moses. But grace, God's grace. What do we know about grace? Well, we know it's a free gift. Somebody said, well, you've got to receive it. Let me tell you something. This free gift of grace ensures that those to whom God gives it, that they'll receive it. There's no question about it. That's what God does. He said, I'll give them a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within them. I'll cause them to walk in my statutes, my word, the gospel. And it's full of truth about how God saves sinners, how God is just to justify the ungodly by Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. The law was a word of condemnation and wrath. But grace, the covenant of grace, is about life and righteousness, forgiveness, that comes by Jesus Christ. It doesn't come by you or me. It doesn't come based upon our doing anything. It's totally free. And grace, the Bible tells us in Romans 5:21, reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, this thing of grace and mercy and God's love, it's a wonderful, marvelous thing. I love to preach on it, talk about it. But it doesn't come to sinners outside of Christ. Outside of Christ, there's no grace, no mercy, no love in salvation from God. Grace, love, and mercy is founded upon the justice and law of God satisfied by the blood of Christ. That's what the Scripture teaches. And so, the law that condemns, given by Moses, but even Moses, and this is a marvelous thing, even Moses knew that he could not be saved by his law keeping. Moses, the lawgiver, knew what that law was all about. Christ said that over in the book of John chapter 5. Look over there with me in John chapter 5. And look at verse 39. Here he's talking to the Pharisees who claimed to be lawkeepers. And they studied their scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. And he said, listen to this in John 5:39. He says, search the scriptures. Now the construction of this in the original would read like this. You do search the scriptures. I know you read your Bibles. Many of you out there watching me now, listening to me, I know you have a Bible and you read your Bibles. Many of you claim to study it and claim to memorize it. Many of you claim to believe it. Well, that's what Christ is telling the Pharisees here. You do search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. See, the Pharisees and the scribes, who were the interpreters of the law, they read the scriptures, they quoted them, they claimed to live by them, but they missed the whole point, which is Christ crucified and risen from the dead. That's the whole point of these scriptures. And he says in verse 40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. If you believe the scriptures, you'd come to me. You'd come to Christ. You'd plead his righteousness. You'd admit you have no righteousness of your own. But as Paul wrote in Romans 9, the Jews, they sought righteousness by works of the law, but they didn't make it. The law condemns. So he says, you will not come to me that you might have life. Verse 41, I receive not honor from men, but I know you, he says, that you have not the love of God in you. I'm come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Christ come preaching the truth, preaching grace. They wouldn't receive him. Verse 44, he says, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? You know, that's what people in religion are doing. They're seeking honor for themselves. But Christ said, you need to seek that honor that comes from God alone. And that comes in Christ. And he says in verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. That means the law. And look at verse 46 and 47. This is great. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Moses, when he wrote that law, he was writing of Christ. He's shown this law condemns. Righteousness and forgiveness and eternal life are only in Christ. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So go back to John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In verse 18, he says, no man hath seen God at any time. That is, there's no visible representation of God that persons have seen. Some people claim that. You have paintings and they say this is God, but there's no likeness of God. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Now, you know what He says here? It says what Christ said in Matthew 11. He says, no man knoweth the Father except the Son. And he to whom the Son revealeth. And no man knoweth the Son except the Father, and he whom the Father revealeth. You can't know the Father apart from the Son. And you can't know the Son apart from the Father revealing Him by the power of the Spirit. You see what it's saying here? If you're going to know God, if you're going to know how God saves, if you're going to know how God is just to justify, you've got to come to Christ. You've got to know Christ, who He is, what He accomplished, why He did it, and where He is now. Risen from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. In verse 19, it says this, this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you, John? Who art thou? They wanted to, John was a pretty odd character in those days. He wasn't in the synagogue or in the usual places of worship. Wasn't in Jerusalem. He stood outside in the wilderness. He wore different clothes, animal skins. He ate different foods and all of that. Who are you, John? Well, John says, I'm nothing. Christ is everything. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. Don't look to John the Baptist. Don't look to any preacher. Don't look to yourself. Look to Christ. If you want grace, you want truth, it comes by Jesus Christ and Him alone. For He is the embodiment of the grace of God, and He is the embodiment of the truth of God. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.